work as a musician or anything else, I use the amber on the throat, at least on the throat. And when if one is doing some kind of very powerful spiritual work where one is going to be surrounded by powers of light and to be grounding and radiating this kind of, then one will use it on the ajna, on the throat, the heart, and if one is very developed so that he's in no danger of any kind of invasion by negative forces, also on the solar plexus and the nape of the neck, because the solar plexus and nape of the neck are the openings for psychic forces to invade, but they are also the places where the overshadowing of the high spiritual forces link in to the human aura. So we would use it on the solar plexus and nape of the neck, and then on the pulses, in order to bring the power of the amber throughout the aura, and for really high work, and even on the soles of the feet. Note that one does not use these essential oils on the generative or the root chakra, and only in certain cases on the solar plexus, and only for protective purposes, normally on the solar plexus and nape of the neck, like a rose oil. In practice, you can mix it with the rose for ordinations, for a holy oil, for ordinations and consecrations. It makes a wonderful temple incense. You can apply it to the ajna, throat, and heart for manifestational and radiance work. There are other uses that I won't disclose at this time that are only you will only discover in your own private work with your own higher guides. For healing, you may use it on your hands mixed with rose when you're channeling pranic healing for things which has to do with the healing of cells, the kind of thing that prana would be good for, broken bones, a weakened system, etc. But you never, never do pranic healing, and you certainly don't use amber for viral and germ-caused contagious diseases, because otherwise you enliven the microbic life, the microorganisms, and they themselves become very powerful, and you actually weaken the centers and the chakras of the patient. So when you're doing pranic healing, you can use amber as long as we're not dealing with disease or germ type things or contagious type things. We use it for healing of wounds and cuts and so on, for the transfer of prana. Realizing that when you make yourself positive, you also make the other person negative, and it actually can weaken temporarily as their chakras become receptors for the prana. It can weaken them, and if they have contagious disease or microbe-inspired infection, then the use of amber could be very dangerous for them. So you have to know what you're doing with the healing. The oil that's taken from the eucalyptus tree has very special and powerful purposes that we can apply. Eucalyptus oil has the characteristic that it radioactively penetrates the astral plane, and it literally irritates and even causes to fall apart or disembody or dissolve, so to speak, astral forms that are not wanted or needed, especially negative astral forms. It makes it difficult for unwanted astral negative forces to be in that area. It irritates them very much. It even damages their astral center sometimes. So when you're working with a situation where there is a lot of negative energy, so to speak, negative astral energy, negative psychic energy of the lower sort, then eucalyptus oil is very useful. For example, people who are troubled with some kind of psychic attack, or by bad dreams at night, or by the feeling that someone is projecting negativity towards them at nighttime, will take a cup of boiling water and put a little bit of eucalyptus oil into it and let it just sort of hang around in the atmosphere when they sleep. You can use eucalyptus oil on the solar plexus and on the nape of the neck centers. You can apply it there to ensure that lower astral entities will not try to make an entrance into your aura at those points, because those are the points where they do try to enter, at the nape of the neck and at the solar plexus. It has much of the same use can be made of sandalwood, but eucalyptus oil is specifically for astral type of problems, and it can be applied and made useful for any kind of disinfecting, because infections are not simply physical microbes. There are astral and other bodies that that cause microbic expansion and microbic population growths. And in dealing with infections and even viruses, it's very useful to use eucalyptus, because eucalyptus takes away the root, or makes it difficult for microscopic life, especially germ-type things and virus-type things, to form and grow and increase, because it cuts away at their astral roots. So you'll find eucalyptus used as a throat lozenge, as a mouthwash. Listerine is a very good kind of mouthwash, but it can eventually burn the lining of the mouth too. But Listerine is made with eucalyptament, and you'll find that any kind of eucalyptus cough drops or eucalyptus drops that are true eucalyptus oil are very helpful and very useful for respiratory and throat and other kinds of infections and viruses and colds and things like this. And the eucalyptus oil can be diluted in water and used on a cotton swab to disinfect clothing and articles of furniture and other kinds of things that have been handled by people who carry strong negative vibration or imperil. It will literally disinfect things that have been used by people and therefore soaked through with their vibration, people who hold a lot of negative energy. Whenever you're going to give something used, some used item to a child, you either wash it in pure water, or if it's not possible to wash it, use a little of the eucalyptus oil. Now, about eucalyptus oil, it is a very serious poison, and it's a brain poison, a nerve poison, and it can cause death if it's ingested by children or animals or by people in any quantity. So this is one of the oils that is one of the few oils that we use that are dangerous. The other is a wormwood and various kinds of pine oil sometimes. But to keep these away from children in places where people can get into them. But the eucalyptus oil is readily available in health food stores and things like this. It is possible to use eucalyptus together with amber to increase psychic energy flow. And in that case, you use the eucalyptus oil on the two centers, the solar plexus and the nape of the neck, and the amber on the ajna, the throat, the heart, and on the pulses. And that helps very much the flow of psychic energy when you're doing some kind of healing or other kinds of light work. Peppermint oil, any kind of mint oil, but especially peppermint oil, which is also readily available, is a great help to unblock the blockages in the subtle nerve channels of the body, in the what are called the nadis in India. It's very good in helping to move and unblock the flow of energy, of ki, of kundalini, the kind of energy that acupuncture works with, and acupressure and so on. Etheric, physical etheric kinds of energies, bodily energies. One of the simplest and most effective uses of peppermint oil is when one needs to be very well in tune for some kind of very special work or very high meditation or something else. Is to have someone take the peppermint oil, put it on a cotton swab with a little bit of water, and literally swab the entire length of the spine from the root of the spine all the way up to the skull and way up into the top of the spine, if you know where that inserts in the skull, all the way, especially after a shower or something like that. And that will lead to a great efficiency in the working of the nadis and of that energy for physical coordination and for thinking, on your feet real quickly. Situations where you have to be very alert, very sharp, and very in tune. Now, it's important to dilute the peppermint oil a little bit because it's very strong. And after it goes on, it can make you feel very cold, and that's actually a burning. It can burn etheric webs and do some damages, so you put it on in a diluted kind of way. If you've put too much on, and you start, and at some point you don't notice it, but then when you start to perspire, you start to feel uncomfortable from the strength of the peppermint oil, then dilute it, swab a little of it off, because it's not too good to have it on too heavily. Now, with peppermint oil and rose oil and some of the other oils, when you've used them with your fingers and applied them, don't stick your fingers on your eyes. Wash your fingers off first, because especially with peppermint and with rose oil and amber oil and some of the others can irritate the eyes, and if you get some in your eyes, they burn the eyelids and they will give you problems. You'll have to wash yourself off if you do that. Now, peppermint oil penetrates into the etheric webs and puts the energy there into a kind of flux that results in a kind of unblocking of congestions. It's also useful to use with eucalyptus oil in cleansing and in disinfecting, especially microbes and when you have disease. So peppermint and eucalyptus are very useful when you have viral or bacterial-caused diseases, especially diseases that you can get to through, sore throats, respiratory infections, and that sort of thing. And that's why you find a lot of medicines made with these things that people use. And these medicines are good to buy and use them. Always make use of the peppermint and eucalyptus whenever you have any of these kinds of infections. It helps prana to circulate. So therefore, peppermint oil can also be used in conjunction with something like amber. It also has an effect, I am told, of pushing away certain mental entities that are clothed with lower mental matter. So therefore, it would have a use with sandalwood, which I will now describe. I have not made use of it in this way, but sandalwood has many interesting properties. It's been used in India just as a kind of universal remedy for and fragrance for all kinds of things. It is a purifier of the atmosphere around us, of our aura and our room around us and the space around us, and it transmits psychic energy from space and expels low-level entities. My main use that I've made of sandalwood has been similar to that of the eucalyptus, in which it's applied to the solar plexus and the nape of the neck, almost as an alternative to eucalyptus when it's not available, when I'm doing work in exorcism or working with a lot of negative energy or with people who are radiating and transmitting a lot of negative energy or negative entities as a kind of protective thing. Some yogis, I'm told, inhale the sandalwood through breathing exercises and purify the space of their lungs and so on. It can be applied on the palms of the hands when healing or strengthening action is needed, just like amber. So sandalwood has some of these characteristics, as amber does, of bringing prana and psychic energy from space and collecting it. And it also can be used not for higher astral for the disinfecting, one might say, or the or the combating higher astral negative forms and lower mental thought forms. So if one has a combination of eucalyptus, peppermint for the etheric, eucalyptus for the astral, sandalwood for the higher astral and lower mental, and wormwood for the mental, and I'll discuss wormwood in a minute, one has a very powerful combination of fragrances and oils that can be used for disinfecting and cleansing the entire aura. And that is precisely what we use when we make temple soap. We make it out of Dr. Bronner's peppermint soap, and we use the lavender as a kind of medium to bring them together, but we use a peppermint and the eucalyptus, and we don't have sandalwood, but we use the peppermint and the eucalyptus with the lavender, and the lavender, by the way, has many of the properties of sandalwood, and we use the wormwood and the peppermint, eucalyptus, and the a small bit of wormwood, a very small bit of wormwood oil, mixed all together with generous amounts, about equal amounts of lavender oil, eucalyptus oil, peppermint oil soaps, and then a very small amount of wormwood is a very effective soap for an overall auric cleansing. Temple soap is used by applying it first to the crown of the head, and then massaging it into the hair and all over the face, and then working it down on the body all the way to the soles of the feet, lathering it up, and then just showering it all off and rinsing it all off. And then after the soap is used, as soon as the shower is finished, one sits in meditation and goes through a certain kind of visualization and harmonic chanting or use of sound and tone meditation that creates a clearing and cleansing of irritation and imperil from the system. From the etheric system, imperil is dissolved, and it is put back into a flux in the aura. And in the aura, it is burned away using a violet light. And then it is basically visualized as being smoked out of the aura. And then finally, the entire aura is visualized and cleansed with a pure white light. And this kind of a physical cleansing that is also an auric cleansing is done before one undertakes major initiations, or as one is doing the initial purification practices leading to a vigil, or for other kinds of purposes when one has to try to start at level a playing field as one wants to, one needs to. If one is beginning a vegetarian diet or some other kind of situation where this cleansing is necessary and is needed in order to clear for a special work or for a special effort that's going to be made. The fragrance and the oils that can be made from the pitches of pine trees and the cedar trees are very useful. Pine oils, of course, are used in disinfecting and in cleaning, physically cleaning things. Pine sol and other kinds of things can be used that way. Well, the pine oils have the characteristic of collecting and holding much prana. And the best and the most beautiful of these are the deodar or cedar oils. And these oils have many beautiful properties. In the first place, they can be used, like eucalyptus and peppermint, for physical healing of microbe and virus-caused diseases. You can put the oil of pine or cedar on the throat when one has problems with a throat infection, or a little below the lip, and inhale it, or you can put it into a vaporizer and have those fragrances in the air. any of those fragrances in the air when you're dealing with respiratory problems. A pine oil of any sort is, of course, used in basic just cleansing of things, cleaning rooms and so on. But if there are specific lung and throat troubles, pine oil can be put on a handkerchief and rubbed on the throat and chest in the late morning. Don't do it in the late afternoon because it can cause insomnia and fatigue, because it is a great accumulator of prana. So anything that is a great accumulator of prana, you don't want to use before you go to sleep or late in the afternoon where it can overstimulate you. You want to use it in the morning and apply it in the morning. And that goes for amber and the pine oils and cedar oils and so on. In the ancient times, Bishop Saradarian tells us in his book, The Psyche and Psychism, that some of the people who were infected by low psychism, that is, people who were mediums and they were subject to have other spirits take over them and speak through them and not at their will and not as an overshadowing of higher psychism, but lower mediumship and lower psychism, people who were afflicted with that, who were very difficult to help because they're in a very bad situation. They were sent to cabins built in the pine forests where the aroma of the trees was as substantial as water. You could just breathe it everywhere, and that helped these people. You can also make a pine needle tea, which is good for building up energy and pranic force and help at a time of weakness and so on. Speaking of prana, there are many ways accumulating and building up pranic energy and pranic forces, which are necessary and needed, especially in later in the winter, and people are working hard and there's not as much sunlight, not as much solar prana available. And there are practices with breathing and with fragrances that can be used to increase one's energy if one's fighting diseases or has a sore throat or is tired from overwork. The first is to get up early and at sunrise to breathe prana from the sun. At sunrise and at the early time of the morning when you can still look at the solar disk without harming the eyes, or at sunset, you breathe in through the nostrils, inhaling slowly, looking through the eyelids at the disk of the sun in order not to damage the eyes. But as one looks, the solar prana comes in through the crown side of the body, and as one breathes in, it sinks all the way to the feet. And then as one breathes out, one's breathed in through the nostrils, one breathes out through the mouth, then the circulation of prana completes its cycle and begins to circulate backwards upward toward the crown, and then one seals it into the aura by ending with a hum, the hum. And then one does another cycle of breathing through the nostril, looking at the sun, and then closing the eyes, breathing out, ending in a hum. Do this perhaps about 7 times. That's a very good way to build yourself up early in the morning. And the drinking of the pine needle tea or the using of pine or other kinds of things that qualify prana and bring them into your system. Pine needles, pine trees are very strong collectors of solar prana. And therefore, they can be, you might chew on them, you can crush them with your fingers and rub them into certain centers. Just being in a pine forest and being around the trees is a way of accumulating prana. Breathing deeply in areas with green trees, and especially pine trees and cedar trees, and breathing deeply the air around those places, especially in the early morning when there's dew on the ground, or in the evening when it becomes a little more moist and there's more moisture in the air. It's a very powerful way of accumulating prana. Now, the cedar oil is far more substantial and potent than the pine oil. It's considered to be the master of the pine family, the beautiful cedars. A great sage, according to Bishop Saradarian, has called the cedar oil the balsam of the heart. The fragrance increases the prana and the psychic energy of the aura, and it increases the fiery qualities of the aura and of the heart, and it is a very powerful and beautiful thing to have and to wear. It is difficult to find good cedar oil, and when you do find it, prize it, because it's very useful, and it can be nicely combined with rose and amber and other things too. But it's very good to wear on any and all of the centers, and to bring into the aura. At certain times, it's good not to put it on the solar plexus and not on the nape of the neck, however. Those are times when you come into contact with negative forces or polluting elements, but those are times when that would be rather obvious times working with exorcism or things like this. Olive oil is like rose oil and like the substance copper, is the oil that can be used to blend other oils and can blend foods and make blend soups and so on. Olive oil is excellent to eat and to put in your food. Olive oil and barley is another very good substance to use as much as possible in your food. Olive oil has been used from ancient times on the hands to conduct psychic energy for consecrations and healings and exorcisms and whatever. It acts as a conductor between the physical, mental, and intuitional levels, and it transmits, therefore, psychic energy not only from the centers, but from nature itself into the dense physical body. So that if one is trying to accumulate pranic energy, pranic force, olive oil as a medium for another oil, like a cedar oil or something, it can be very helpful, very useful. Very often, psychic energy channeled into the etheric, physical etheric body by a person who is a strong channeler of prana, who is a physical healer, can cause significant cures, says Bishop Saradarian, in the glands and the bloodstream and the nervous system. He remembers that in Asia, people put olive oil on sick people and prayed over them. And to heal the problem of lower psychism, the problem of somebody being obsessed or possessed or can't stop automatic writing or is constantly being used by some other kind of consciousness that takes over a person, olive oil can be used on the spine to help clear that situation. And in the New Testament, we read that using olive oil, many people were, it says, quote, they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick, and they healed them. So olive oil is a very important thing to use with healing as well. Wormwood oil is a very powerful thing, and it's to be used only under the direction of someone who really knows what he's doing. Wormwood oil dissolves imperil, the actual black astral crystal that accumulates in our nadis, in our nerve, in our etheric nerve channels, that may have been there for a long, long times. And therefore, if one has a certain location in the physical body that brings pain or aching or joint problems or something that happens to be an imperial problem, which it may or may not be, then if wormwood oil is applied and a lot of fluid is drunk, wormwood oil, say, is applied at nighttime, and then you drink a lot of water in the morning, by the time you wake up in the morning, wash the wormwood oil off, very often it will have been processed out. You can't use a large amount of it and spread it over a large surface area of the body, or you can cause real severe problems because it goes into flux and then recrystallizes in other places and can concentrate in certain areas and be a real problem. But wormwood oil can be used to actually cure the problems of that the imperil has brought upon us. And the only way I use it with people in the temple normally is in the temple soap for purifications and helping in auric cleaning. Sarah Darian says that the oil dissolves impurl and lets the electrical current flow along nerve channels and restores the health of the glands and organs, and it must be used, very important to mention this, externally. It is poisonous, and you apply with a very light dosage. The excessive use of this oil can cause problems. If you put too much of it over your body, as I've mentioned, what could happen. Wormwood oil can be used if, due to lower psychic experiences, a person feels pain or inflammation or congestion or irritation. That is, if a person is having visions or is doing channeling and come out of his body or...